sorry, y'all. This is the jam.
Amen.
What up, y'all? What up? What up? What up? What up? Welcome to your Kobe Radio, baby. This is season 2, segment 2. How y'all doing? How y'all feeling? Hope everybody blessed with no stress. Whatever stress you got, it ain't really worth it because somebody else going through the jack stronger than you. How y'all doing, man? Peace and love to all of y'all. Hope you've been enjoying your life. I hope everybody been good. Hope your granny's doing good, your moms, your pops, your family, whoever's in your life, your mentors, etc. May Jesus be with y'all. May the peace of the Lord be with y'all. May the Most High, Emmanuel, Elohim, be with you always. All praise to Yahweh. All praise to the Most High God, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Man, what's up, y'all? So, this segment is going to be strictly about the love and passion that has not been given to a lot of our birth givers, a lot of our are the ones that are receive the energy to help bring life into this world that God put on this earth to show Adam that you cannot be alone, young man, and that it is not good for you to be alone because you too will help foundate and sprout this entire planet. So I'm speaking of our powerful and our loving, our God-given women of this earth that are just so beautiful and so precious to us in so many ways that even themselves don't even know how precious and valuable they are in God's eyes. So I want to say first and foremost, I love y'all and know that a lot of actual men, not just males, I mean, we talk of men, love you as well in the name of Christ. So I'm going to highlight some things that are going to be kind of things I think people either don't know, haven't heard of, may have some questions about, etc. We're going to cover a really cool story I think should be required for every young woman, every girl, every older woman, everybody who is a female to read, first and foremost. And then secondly, I believe every male should read the same exact story that is located in our Bible. This is the story of Susanna that we shall cover later on. First, I want to cover some things that I think are key to talk about, not just because it's Black History Month, but shout out to Black History Month, of course. But I think some key things to kind of help foretell some things as we journey down this path to get to talking about the story of Susanna. When we think about the things that are happening to women in society right now, it's vicious and cruel and mean, and it's sickening. Because it's impacting women, men, children. It's impacting everybody. We see what they're doing to men, killing us in the streets, attacking us in every which way, from every background. And the same thing even with women. The enemy is trying to deplete households and damage households. Some of the people that inspired me when I was younger to try to figure out these things and understanding things, I think people like Anna J. Cooper. So we're going to be covering people from like Anna J. Cooper's time to even Sondra Truth's time, right? Like even for example, I know some of you may not even know who Anna J. Cooper was. Anna J. Cooper was an educator. She was a sociologist, a speaker of Black liberation activist. She was one of the most prominent scholars in United States history. I mean, she's one of my favorite writers of all time. She was actually the fourth African-American woman to receive her doctoral degree. And she was actually denied a couple times while she was applying to finish her doctoral degree. She finished that from the University of Paris in 1924. She originally graduated college in 1887. I keep that in mind, some interesting time period. So Anna J. Cooper was born August 10th, 1858, and she lived to February 27th, 1964. Goodness gracious, this woman lived 105 years. She literally went from slavery to seeing MLK and to seeing Emmett Till into seeing World War I, World War II, the Great Depression, the emancipation, and even glimpses of what would be eventually Barack Obama. I mean, she's seen all of these things. She's a phenomenal, phenomenal writer. Actually, she was the first lady to help me coin that African American just simply means Africa in America, which made me have a mind-blowing experience. Like, well, I'm not just some phenomenon within this country, but actually I have a very strong tie to the motherland. Then there's other great people like Sandra Truth, who was actually was born into slavery. And she was born enslaved in Ulster County, New York in 1797. Her birth name given to her was Isabella Bomfrey. She dumped that name and was like, heck no, after she broke free, changed her name to Sojourner Truth. Y'all get the clown of me. I can't say names correctly. It's cool. It's whatever. Anyways, she met awesome activists such as William Lloyd Garrison and Frederick Douglass, who encouraged her to publish like her memoir in 1850. Now notice that date right there, right? In 1850, she was told to write her memoir, right? 8 years later, people like Anna J. Cooper are born, right? And you kind of see the magnitude of people like that, right? So we're like, okay, you're like, well, that's awesome. Like, what about, you know, these great people now? I mean, you think about some of the phenomenal business people that we've had, that we've seen, that we know of, right? People like, you know, of course, Oprah Winfrey and even like Suzanne Schenck, the $2 trillion woman who's basically the coldest woman on Wall Street right now. Her company alone is a phenomenal company that has done more. I think they said their company has done over $2 trillion worth of transactions, right? And this is information I found on the New York Times. If you look at Suzanne Schenck's just simple listing alone on Spelman's board of how they talk about this lady, I mean, it's incredible the type of women that we have out here that are doing phenomenal things. You know, like for example, I'm going to just read you a little bit. She's a chairman and CEO, founding owner of Saybert, Cisneros and Schenck Co. LLC, a Bachelor of Science from Georgia Institute of Technology, MBA at the Wharton School and University of Pennsylvania, Spelman College Board of Trustees elected in 2011. Their company alone is a municipal investment bank. They've managed and deals and done with local governments across the country, doing over, at that time, it was $700 billion. Now they're over $2 trillion in transactions. The company made history in 2010, becoming the first minority and woman-owned firm in Wall Street history to rank in the top 10 among municipal bond underwriters. Prior to her public finance career, Schenck was an engineer with General Dynamics Electric Boat Division, where she worked as a design engineer on various design projects. She's a 23-year-old veteran in the industry. Schenck has been named one of the most powerful or top women in finance in 2010 by U.S. Banker and the American Banker. And then, I mean, it just the list goes on and on. I mean, there's so many phenomenal women that we don't necessarily think about and we don't take account of. And history kind of plays us like, oh, we'll learn about, you know, Rosa Parks. And I would never downplay Rosa Parks. Or even the stuff Harriet Tubman have done, shoes that people, that men would not walk in, right? But they dilute good history of awesome women, and then they kind of tell it in a way that seems almost boring and mundane and repetitive, and we know this narrative and scenario, and that's not necessarily true. But then while they also give you this dry narrative story, they don't tell you about the countless women being killed. Right, consistently, right, with the Say Her Name campaign, which honestly is to me one of the most silenced campaigns of all time. I mean, the Say Your Name campaign, as it's just as significant as the Me Too or any other movement women have tried to done that has been just undermined, just talked bad about, or stuffed, or just laxed, or just whatever the case may be. So I'm going to give y'all some interesting backstory I think y'all should pay attention to. And one, I want to shout out Sandra Bland's mother, who has done a phenomenal job really trying to advocate and talk about women who are being silenced, who are not getting the proper platform they need, who are not getting the voice and the recognition that is well deserved. So I'm going to talk to y'all about some interesting things that y'all may have, may not remember. First of all, Sandra Bland, who was killed here in Texas. She was found dead in the jail cell. They said a suicide, but as we found out, Walter County has issued a settlement with the family, so they know they did wrong. She was arrested during a traffic stop for a bad signal and ended up found dead in jail. Bland was originally from Illinois. And as the dash cam came out, we saw that, you know, she was slammed to the ground. She was attacked 3 days later. On July 10th arrest, Bland was found hanging, dead in her cell. The officials tried to say she hung herself. But after the video and after much, much debate, and after a long, long trials, she was finally found that she didn't kill herself. The crazy thing is, this hasn't been the only story that has happened to people like Sandra Bland. Let's take Natasha McKenna. McKenna died after she was tased by police while she was shackled in a Virginia jail in February. McKenna, who had a 7-year-old daughter who suffered from schizophrenia. You have Janisha Fonville. Fonville was shot and killed in March when Charlotte, North Carolina police officer responded to a domestic dispute between Fonville and her girlfriend of 2 years. You have Tanisha Anderson, a Cleveland woman who died in November after police restrained her in a prone position. She suffered from bipolar disorder and started behaving erratically. The family called the police and was hoping to get assistance, but ultimately it led to her death, which the medical examiner ruled her death as a homicide. You have people such as Charlene Lyles. She lived in Seattle. She called police to report an attempted burglary in her own home on Sunday morning. She was a soon-to-be mother of four. She was shot and killed by officers responding to her call. Officers said that she displayed a knife upon the arrival of home, and she was fatally shot. And the crazy thing is, she was 3 months pregnant with her fourth child when she was killed. Further information found that the story didn't match up. There was, of course, blanks in the story. Family said she had mental health issues. The main question is, why didn't they tase her? Why didn't they try to restrain her in other ways? But ultimately, she was killed. You have the death of, the manslaughter, which was considered a manslaughter, death of a 7-year-old girl, Ayanna Stanley Jones. She was sleeping in her home on the east side of Detroit, May 16th. When officers barged into the house, they were conducting a raid search of a murder suspect who lived, I guess, in the area. And the oddly thing is, apparently they were filming for a reality TV show. Officer Joseph Weekly accidentally fired his gun, which shot and killed Ayanna. She was 7 years old. Of course, the officer didn't face charges. Ended up walking scot-free. The stories, even having a lot of this information ahead of time, just honestly rereading a lot of these stories is kind of it's kind of gut-wrenching, man. I mean, you have, I mean, you have even Deborah Danner. She was killed in the Bronx by an older cop. She was known to have mental disorders, and it's the officer said in self-defense when entering the home. I guess he was shocked of what was happened. He opened rounds and at 6:30 at night in her one bedroom on the 7th floor apartment. He said she had a baseball bat and began to swing at him, shot her fatally. I mean, the story goes on. I mean, then you have here Rakia Boyd hanging out with family and friends. You had her being shot by an off-duty officer. Man. I mean, even her friends tried to testify of it. Said the officer shot many times and they feared for their own lives. And the story was all over the place on why exactly it was an off-duty officer there, why he pulled his gun out, and why did he proceeded to shoot her. In the family, even in the courtroom, it says Martina's son and Rakia's brother shouted in the court when the judge issued his decision. "You want me to be quiet? This bleep killed my sister." Martinez, along with other supporters, were dragged out of the proceedings by deputies. Man, Dante Servin walked out of the criminal court building at the 26th in California, a free man allowed to carry a gun and patrol the streets again. So this undercover officer was free to walk again. I mean, honestly, I could kind of keep going on and on and on and on with these stories. I mean, it's just countless stories of amazing, phenomenal women who are just taken for granted and slaughtered for nothing. I mean, you have people like Maya Hall who took a wrong turn in Maryland, ended up dead. You have, Miriam Carey in Washington, D.C. I mean, you have the young, I even believe she was Somalian, Shakira Ali in Georgia. I mean, it's just the amount of just sexual assault, the amount of just mass killings, the amount of just violence towards women goes so unanswered. I mean, one quote by Andrea Ritchie just says, "Black women's mere presence, speech, and protest of mistreatment are a threat that officers meet with physical or even deadly force." And this is the thing that, like, what the Say Her Name campaign is trying to emphasize on. I mean, there's even the story of the missing black girls that, and the missing other, and the missing Native American girls, and there's countless other women that have gone missing in this country. And ain't nobody saying nothing about it, man. I mean, think about it, yo. Like, human sex trafficking is the biggest thing, the biggest moneymaker in America. In Texas alone, Dallas and Houston are the number one and number two most trafficking cities for human sex trafficking. Think about that, yo. And a lot of the times, it's little girls. I mean, this kind of stuff has got to stop, yo. And I mean, and I'm not just trying to paint it all just a bad narrative and anything like that. There's a lot of phenomenal women that are doing amazing things, but these are things that need to be talked about because a lot of these women are innocent, yo. They're getting killed for no reason and they're innocent. I don't care if she had a bat in her hand. I don't care if she looked suspicious or she may have had a knife or had a weapon. They don't give you the right to kill her, but you let Dylan Roof walk and go get this man Burger King? You let the guy shoot up a movie theater in Denver and you let him walk scot-free? The heck out of here. You mean you can't take down a 137-pound woman that's pregnant? Heck out of here. This is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's got to stop. So that's why we're going to read the story of Susanna. I think the story of Susanna is a phenomenal story. Everybody needs to read and everybody needs to understand. Because this is not just something America is doing or the world is doing. This is something that's been going on for a long time. There's a lot of innocent women trying to speak out about their sexual assault that's happening to them in the Me Too. It's a lot of women who's been saying, say her name, that's been getting killed in the streets for free. And ain't nobody saying nothing about it. And it's not comparing what happens to men versus women. But let's just talk about the women that's being killed as well. Let that bring that to the conversation as well. Because I got sisters. I got a mothers. I got grandmothers. I got great-grandmothers. Let's talk about it. So the story of Susanna, it is in your Holy Bible. You can find it in any version of your Bible, most likely. You can find it predominantly in the Apocrypha. And I'm honestly, it's only one chapter, so I'm going to read this entire thing because I think this is one of the most important stories that any woman needs to read. The story of Susanna as it reads. A man named Joachim once lived in Babylon. His wife Susanna, Hilkiah's daughter, was a very beautiful and honored the Lord. Her parents were good people, and they taught their daughter according to the law from Moses. Joachim was very rich, and he had a large private garden next to his home. The Jews came to him because he was the most honored among them. Two elders among the people had been appointed as judges that year. It was about them that the Lord has spoken. Lawless disorder has come out from Babylon, from elders, from judges who were supposed to guide the people. These men spent a lot of time at Joachim's house, and all the people with lawsuits came to them. When the people went away in the middle of the day, Susanna would walk around her husband's private garden. Every day, the two elders would see her coming in and walking around, and they desired her sexually. They ceased thinking clearly, neither looking to heaven nor caring about justice. Both of them thought about her and nothing else, but they didn't tell each other their craving, because they were ashamed to admit how they desired her and wanted to be with her. But they were on the lookout every day, eager to get a glimpse of her. One said to another, "It's time for lunch. Let's go home." They split up and left. But doubling back, they met again at the same place. They started asking each other for an explanation, and so each confessed a desire. Then they plotted together for a time when they would be able to find her alone. When they were watching closely for the right moment, Susanna came by. Just as they had the day before and the day before that, alone with the two female servants. She wanted to bathe in the privacy of the garden since it was hot. Remember, this is her husband's private garden. No one was there except the two elders who were hidden and spying on her. She said to her female servants, "Please bring me some olive oil and lotion and lock the gates so I can bathe." They did just what she said. They locked the gates to the garden and went through the side doors into the house to fetch the things she had wanted. They didn't see the elders since they were hiding. When the female servants went out, the two elders stood up and ran at her. They said, "Look, the gates are locked and nobody can see us. We desire you, so do what we want and have sex with us. If you don't, we'll swear that you were meeting with a young man, and that's why you sent your female servants away." Susanna groaned. "I'm trapped. If I do this, it's death. But if I don't, I still won't escape your plotting. But I'd rather not do this and fall into your hands than sin in the Lord's sight." So Susanna screamed. And at the same time, the two elders called out. One of them ran and opened the gates to the garden. When the people in the house heard the shouting in the garden, they ran through the side doors to see what happened to Susanna. When the two elders had their say, the servants were very ashamed because nothing like this had ever been said about Susanna. Y'all can relate to that. The next day, when the people came to her husband, Joachim, the two elders came too, full of their immoral scheme to have Susanna killed. They said in front of the people, "Call Susanna, Hilkiah's daughter, who is married to Joachim." So they called her in. She came with her parents, her children, and all her relatives. Now Susanna was elegant, beautiful in appearance. The criminals ordered the veil that she was wearing to be removed so they could soak in her beauty. That's disgusting. But her household and all who saw her were crying. Upon taking the stand in front of everybody, the elders laid their hands on Susanna's head to give testimony. But she looked up to heaven while crying because she trusted the Lord. The elder said, "While we were walking around the large garden by ourselves, this woman came in with two female servants. She locked the gates of the garden and sent away two male servants. Then a young man who had been hiding came and lay with her. We were in the corner of the garden, and when we saw this lawless act, we went running to them. We saw them having sex, but we couldn't hold on to the man because he was stronger than we were. He opened the gates and ran away. So we grabbed this woman and asked her who the young man was, but she wouldn't tell us. To this we swear." The assembly believed them because they were the people's elders and judges. So they sentenced Susanna to death. Susanna screamed out, "Eternal God, you know what is hidden. You see everything before it happens. You know that they've lied in this court about me. Look, I am going to die, although I didn't do any of the things these men accuse in their malice." The Lord heard her cry. As she was being led away to die, God stirred up the Holy Spirit of a young man named Daniel. He shouted out loud, "I'm innocent of this woman's blood." All the people turned to him and asked, "What are you saying?" He stood among them and said, "Are you so stupid, Israelites, that you sentenced an Israelite woman to death without cross-examining or finding the facts? Go back to court. These men have given false testimony against her." Everyone rushed back. The other elder said to Daniel, "Sit here with us and advise us, since God has given you the status of an elder." Daniel told them, "Separate them from each other, and I'll cross-examine them." When they had separated from each other, he called in one of the judges and said to him, "The sins you did earlier are catching up to you now at the end of a long, evil life. You judge unfairly, sentencing the innocent to death and letting the guilty go, even though the Lord says, you will not sentence innocent and good people to death. Now then, if you really saw this woman, tell me this. Under what tree did you see them having sex?" He said, "Under a clove tree." Daniel said, "Right, you lied. It's on your own head. Already God's angel has orders to cleave you down the middle." Then setting that one aside, he ordered them to bring in the other judge. He said to him, "You're a Canaanite and not from Judah. Beauty seduced you and sexual desire twisted your mind. You treated women from Israel this way, and they had sex with you because they were afraid of you. But this woman from Judah wouldn't tolerate your lawless immorality. So tell me now, under what tree did you catch them having sex with each other? He said, under a yew. Daniel said to him, right, you lied too. It's on your own head. God's angel awaits with his sword to hew you down the middle to destroy you both. Then the whole assembly started shouting praises to God who saves those who hope in him. They rose up against the two elders because Daniel had shown from their own words that they were false witnesses. They treated them in the same way that they had plotted to treat their neighbor. By following the law from Moses, they killed them. Innocent blood was saved that day. Hilkiah and his wife gave thanks that their daughter Susanna had not been found guilty of a shameful crime. Her husband Joachim and all their relatives also gave thanks. From that day, Daniel was honored among the people. Blessed be the readers and the hearers of that word. The Messiah blesses those who shout out to him and who praise them. I read this story, and I want everybody to read this story who is a woman and a man to understand that the things that have been going wrong to women, especially women of color, like Susanna and so many others, like Sandra Bland and those who have passed away, in the midst of just standing strong in what they believe in, have died honorable deaths, but have survived, like Susanna and other people who were lucky to survive. God hears your call and he hears your prayer. Despite any wrong that has happened to you, any woman that has been just raped at a party, talked bad about, slandered, and it wasn't true, who have been beaten by an ex-boyfriend or currently in a toxic relationship. May the Most High Jesus Christ give you strength and freedom. And my brothers, continue to stand strong. Ladies, it's important that God showed you and highlighted that there is young men, there is older men, there is men that are fighting for you and will continue to fight for you. You are not by yourself. And if you believe that, that is a deception from the enemy and it is not from the Most High. Hosanna in the highest does not tell us that. We fight every day for our sisters. We love you and care for you. And men, continue to fight that battle. Continue to find ways to help, to give back, to do what you can out here. Whether it's writing, talking, sharing, fighting, physical, loving, caring, preaching, praying. Whatever you have to do to stand right for yours, fight for yours. It doesn't have to be to the death. It can be an honor. And honor comes in multiple different ways. Talk your situations out. Figure it out. But do not feel alone, ladies. There's too much success. There's too much great things for women to obtain in this world for the world to let y'all think y'all are alone. And I don't want that narrative that ain't true to be perpetuated any further than it's already been perpetuated. And I want to leave y'all with some phenomenal women who are doing great and awesome things in business and in other avenues of industry. And I even want to give y'all some local people that I personally like to watch, that I think are doing amazing things. You got people like Adria E. Bracey, she's the VP of finance for the St. Louis Rams, where she was at one point. I think she still is. She may or may not be. Janice Bryant Howard, the CEO of Act One Group. Ursula M. Burns, she's the president of the business group operations of Xerox. She was of Xerox. Yeah, I know y'all know of her. Suzanne Chapman, she was the global head of operations for Citigroup Realty Service in New York. Edith W. Cooper, she was the head of the North American hedge fund distribution for fixed income currencies and commodities at Goldman Sachs. Facts! Amy Ellis Simmons, she was the managing director, head of multi-product sales at Merrill Lynch. Diana Ferguson, she's a senior vice president of strategy and corporate development at Sara Lee Corp. Jerry DeVard, senior VP of brand management and marketing at Verizon. You have Ann Fudge, chairman and CEO of Young Rubicam Brands. Vicky L. Fuller, a senior vice president and portfolio manager of Alliance Capital Management Corp. Linda Goodman, president of information technology and Lockheed Martin, boy. Let's go. Glenda Goodley McNeil, senior vice president and general manager of emerging industries establishment services at American Express. Come on now. Come on now. Kim Green, executive VP of Willis Global Risk Solutions in New York. Carla A. Harris, managing director, global capital markets at Morgan Stanley. Come on now. Bridget Heller, global president, Baby Kids, friend. Oh, Johnson & Johnson. Sheesh. Melody, I couldn't even say her title correctly. Melody Hobson, president of Aerial Capital Management. Kathy L. Hughes, founder and chairman of Radio One. Donna James, president of Nationwide Strategic Investments at Nationwide Mutual Insurance. Yeah, y'all were ready for me to say Nationwide jingle, huh? Melissa James, managing director at Morgan Stanley. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Like, honestly, the list is so deep right now that it's ridiculous. Like, ridiculous. Like, I mean, you got, like, Arlen Hamilton. She's the founder and managing director of Backstage Capital. I mean, you got, like, Tracy Reese. Like, she's a designer, bro. Like, Bump Gucci and Fendi. Have you checked out what Tracy Reese pushing out? Like, it's so many phenomenal women. I mean, you've got, like, Jessica O. Matthews. She's the founder and CEO of Uncharted Power. I mean, you have so many great women doing awesome things. Like, find out who they are. Like, I'm going to give, like, some shout-outs to people that I, like, I mean, I follow on the gram that I think are awesome. Like, one, Taylor Sierra Edwards. I mean, she's a phenomenal RN nurse doing phenomenal things in the DFW area. I mean, you got Monique Caples, who is a lawyer doing awesome things. You got Zakima Henderson, a phenomenal lawyer and attorney that is licensed in Denver and in Texas. I mean, you got even people that are just doing so much cool brand content. I like Amber Lacey. She does a lot of awesome branding content that I think is phenomenal. Alexis Crown does the same thing. A very self-brand management person that does awesome things. Nia the Light does a lot of awesome things out in London. One of the biggest woman influencers and hair influential women that I know of. I mean, you have this awesome painters that are doing awesome things. Crooked Crown Artistry is one of my favorite artistry women that do awesome things. I mean, you've got people who are doing stuff in nail tech like Deisha Cunningham. Like, she does awesome things in nail tech and just education for women to understand, like, empowerment and self-business. I mean, you have awesome people who are doing phenomenal things. You have, I mean, one of my favorite photographers, Kristen Hernandez. She's a phenomenal photographer. Like, you have all these people who are doing great and awesome things that I think oftentimes go just missed, undervalued, and not talked about. You know, I mean, you have Michelle Cooper. I mean, one of the most phenomenal gymnasts, coaches that I've ever seen on the Olympic level as a black woman, right? Like, you rarely see that. I mean, they sit in the same room as the Simone Biles coaches and are able to coach and perform on such a high level that you're just needed a certain way. I think women just go so undervalued and just so untalked about. So with this segment, this is for y'all. And it's just for in any woman that, you know, that I missed, that you're like, hey, Dylan, how come you ain't? I'm so sorry. I'm so passionate right now. I just love all y'all. And I just want y'all to know that y'all are loved by men, that y'all are honored in the Most High eye. That's why the story of Susanna in your Bible, in your Apocrypha, you need to read that and understand that. Along with many other women, like the judge, Deborah, like Ruth and Esther, and so many other women that go untalked about. Like, there's countless women, countless. Lydia, who welcomed Paul and his disciples in. She was the richest woman at that time in her area. And she was the first convert from the when the word left Africa in the Middle East and it traveled northward, Lydia was the first Christian convert to accept that in. We have all been tied together. Black people, what we call white people, what we call black people, what we call white people, what we call Middle Eastern people, what we call any color under the sun, we've all connected through the word and through our acts, not just as men, but allowing women to that are led by the Spirit of the Most High God to allow them to be uplifted and honored and to stand firm with them as they support us and we support them. So I want to thank the Most High. I want to thank Christ for creating y'all and know that y'all are loved and y'all are honored. Keep your faith upon Jesus. Keep your faith on the Messiah and keep your faith on high. And all things will be given to y'all. Peace and love to y'all. And remember, go kiss your mama. I'm about to go call mine, FaceTime mine, kiss mine. So peace and love to y'all. Make sure you call your grannies, your nanas, and everybody else, man. This is your Kobe Radio. Peace and love, y'all. Y'all have a blessed time. Peace.